Today, I'm very happy. I don't know if you, where you're sitting, you've been able to see the signage that is on the wall of the balcony that says gaining, grounding, growing, and glorifying God. Very beautifully placed there to remind us what it's all about. Jesus is the one who gave us that commission when he said in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We gain by reaching out to make disciples. When we make disciples, we ground them in the Word of God and in the ministry of the Lord's kingdom. We grow individuals in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in his means and ways in which you and I are to live our lives. And then all that we do, God is the one who gets the glory and he gets the praise. And so I want us to take about 2 minutes and let's greet one another, but take time and look and see the signage that is there. Before you stand, the share, Brother Jones is doing an outstanding job in the personal evangelism, and they have what is called the share. This is episode 8 or 9, I guess. I don't forget. It's 6? All right, episode 6. And it has a very beautiful theme that's going to be this Friday. We want to encourage everyone to come and be a part of that. Now, you won't see me. And the reason you won't see me is because our family is taking a trip, a family trip to Colorado. And we're going to go to a place called Winter Park. And that's where they ski. And that's where they ski. And I want y'all to catch every. Yeah, that's where they ski. But it's going to be a good trip for us. So we won't be there, but we do ask that you pray for us, that we have a safe trip there and back. Now let's take 2 minutes, and I want you to look at the signage, and let's thank our communications department for the wonderful way in which they're doing. Let's stand and let's greet for 2 minutes.
God, and I am so glad. You gave your life.
Last week, I shared with you from John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. But the story of the blind man and his healing actually covers the entire chapter through verse 41. There are at least 5 different responses, different persons or categories that are discussed in this chapter. I shared with you 2 on last week. That is the view of the disciples when they saw this man in his blindness from birth. And they wanted to know who sinned, his mother, his parents, or the man. And I emphasize to you that these men were interested in making a judgment about this man. And I asked us on last week, let us not be in the business of making snap judgments, judging individuals. But then I move to show you the view that Jesus had of the man. And he made reference to the fact that I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For when night cometh, no man can work. He said, this man's sickness was for the glory of God. And so we had Jesus' view and we had the disciples' view, but this morning I want you to consider the view of the Pharisees. And I want to use for a subject the danger of spiritual blindness. What you have in this text is one who was physically blind, but then the Holy Spirit reveals to us through John that there were individuals who were guilty of spiritual blindness. And so, verse number 13, I want to read that again for you so you can see. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beginning at verse number 13, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes. You notice he didn't say he spit on the ground because he couldn't see. But he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, you were completely born in sins, and you're teaching us? And they cast him out. You know, the danger of spiritual blindness. When you think in terms of these individuals, here's what spiritual blindness is. It is the inability of a person to understand, perceive, grasp, comprehend spiritual truth. They may be able to fully understand other facts. Many things in life they are able to see, but a spiritually blind person is incapable of digesting, comprehending, perceiving the true meaning of spiritual truth. These individuals, in spite of the miracle and in spite of the proof of this man's healing, closed their eyes to that truth and stubbornly refused to accept what was obvious to every person with an open mind. The reason the Holy Spirit put this in the text and took as much time to tell this story is because there are many people, even to this day, who are of the same nature as the Pharisees, regardless of the truth, regardless of what they know is marvelous in their eyes and truth according to what is said. There are people who will close their eyes to the facts and stubbornly stay in their spiritual blindness. You know, go with me to Matthew chapter 13. And I want to show you Jesus' conclusion, summation of these individuals. In verse number 14, I believe it is, John chapter 13 and verse number 14, let's start at verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, hard. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have purposely closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, and I'm praying that this is the case with us today. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You and I are blessed in the church of Christ. God has opened our eyes to the world in which we live. But spiritual blindness, where you purposely choose not to see, choose not to hear, choose not to understand, not allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to heal you and to save you and to bring the great success that you so desperately desire. This is seen in another man that was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were like this, but I want to show you another Pharisee that was blind, but then the Lord had to open his eyes. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. And this is interesting because you and I don't make this connection, but it is a connection because this gentleman by the name of Saul of Tarsus, was victimized by this same group, refusing to open his eyes, refusing to hear with his ears. But then watch what happens. The Bible says in Acts 9, verse number 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at him now. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is that red writing in your Bible? That's Jesus talking. And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, hard to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. Here is a man who thought he could see, but God had to blind him in order for him to see. The light of Jesus Christ is a light that he needed. And the Bible says that he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. But after his conversion, you read the rest of that, and after his conversion, this is what his conclusion was. And I want to show you how a man was brought out of darkness and how prolific he is now in his teaching concerning the Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, listen to Saul, who is now Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament. Watch what the Bible says. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful. I don't know. I need to just help you to see what the man is saying. He is saying that I wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus found me. I wasn't looking for a job, but he gave me a job. I was lost, but he found me. I was a sinner, but he made me a saint. I was on my way to hell, but he put me on the right path toward heaven. And somehow, all of us need to be like Paul. When you're blind and you can't see, you ought to thank God when your eyes are open and you can see. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's what spiritual blindness will do. It'll make you ignorant. It will cause you to be in unbelief because you're stubborn, too stubborn to open your eyes, too stubborn to accept the fact that God is working mightily in his son, Jesus Christ. But watch this now. The Bible said, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but God knows that this man understands. And let me just stay with the text, because I want to preach it every one of these. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all what long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe. Watch this now. A pattern for those who are what? Going to believe on him for everlasting life. Well, I think that's interesting, because go back to the text, John 9, and I want to show you something. about this man, and I'm talking about believing on Jesus and believing in Jesus Christ. In John 9 and verse number 35, watch what happens. Jesus heard that this man had been cast out, and when he found him, he said unto him, when he had found him, are you with me? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, watch this, I believe, and he worshiped him. When the Lord gives you the spiritual sight, saves you, brings you into a position where you can distinguish between darkness and light, truth and error, you and I should understand that we should see this as believing in Jesus, believing on Jesus. What's interesting is that when the phrase is used, believe on Jesus, the construction means that you believe toward him. You go toward him. In other words, when the man said that I might believe on him or believe in him, he said, if you tell me who he is, then I will go toward him, which is another way of saying I will follow him, which is another way of saying I will be his disciple if you just tell me who it is. And so Jesus said to the man, he says, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. Watch him now. Lord, I believe. And then he worshiped him. There is something about when a man has his spiritual insight, spiritual light, then he must become a follower of Jesus Christ. His life in the past is so different from his life in the future. It is obvious that when this man received his eyesight, physical, then the Lord opened him up spiritually. Then the man became a follower of Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, follow me now, was a blasphemer, trying to find a way to bound every man who accepted Jesus Christ and was a follower of Christ. But after the Lord converted him, his life changed from what he used to be. Instead of becoming a persecutor, he became a gospel preacher, one who was now walking in the light. Walking according to his relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that there is a difference between darkness and light. You know when you're in the dark, and you know when you're in the light. And when you're in the light, it's so much better. And you know the contrast is there. Some of us need to understand that spiritual darkness is something that God wants to free us from. And this is what God is doing. In my last statement to you, I want to illustrate the same truth to you by the same apostle who was converted when he gave a message to the brethren at Ephesus. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to begin at verse number 17. He's talking to those who are Christians, but he's going to contrast darkness and light. Watch what he does. In Ephesians 4 and 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, watch this now, henceforth, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. Watch this. Being without value. Vanity of your mind. You're walking without value. Vanity of your mind means you're walking with emptiness. Vanity of your mind means that you're walking without purposefulness. You're walking not believing that there's anything substantial in your life. He said, I don't want you to walk that way. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You are darkened, which simply means that your understanding, and this is selective, listen to me well. When a man is in darkness, he selects to be in darkness because the light is there. The Lord, oh, Brother Gibbs, what are you saying? God has already testified and given you light. He gave you light if you just look at the world in which he made. That's light to you that there is a God. If you really look at Jesus, that is light to you because Jesus Christ, in performing his miracles, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's why Nicodemus, another Pharisee, said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You have two reasons why you should never be in darkness. That is the creation of the world, Jesus Christ coming, and then the word of God itself. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, no man today needs to walk in darkness. If you walk in darkness, if your mind is a mind that is futile in thinking and darkened in its understanding, it's because you choose to be that way. Because God has already given you enough light. If you would just accept the light, and that's what God is trying to tell you. And if you don't accept the light, then you're separated from the life of God only by the light. And being a part of the light keeps you from being estranged from God Almighty. And you remain in ignorance and in the hardness of your heart. Here's what you know about people who purposely turn their back on truth. You know, let me just stay with the scripture. Now, when you talk about people hardening their heart, there are people who get so hard in their refusal to accept truth that they have come to the point that they don't even want to hear the truth and get angry with you if you tell them the truth. That's a hardened individual. Well, can't help them. And then given over to sexual immorality. The Bible says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That is, they're without self-constraint. Utterly. Behavior is utterly, utterly out of bounds when it comes to sexual behavior. Amen. But anyway, I don't want to get into all of that, but you say I might as well, but no. Well, anyway, just look at what's happening in her. All right, that's the way the dog were. But then as I close, watch this now. Here's spiritual light. Watch him in verse number 20. And this is good. But we have not so learned Christ. If so be that we have what? Heard him. And have been what? Taught by him. As the what? Truth is where? In Jesus. That he put what? Off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt and according to deceitful lust. And be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Are you with me? And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, how do I know that I'm in the light and I'm not in the dark? Here's what he says. Look at verse number 25. Put that on the board. Verse number 25. Watch what he says. Wherefore, putting away what? Lying, speak what? Every man what? Truth with his neighbor. For we are what? Members one of another. So if a man is in the light, then he's not a man who is lying, but he is a man who has committed himself to truth, and he'll speak the truth, whatever the truth is, with all members. Watch verse number 26. Be ye what? Angry and what? Sin not. Let not the what? Sun go down upon your wrath. If a man is walking in the light, he knows that anger is darkness. And he knows that if he allows himself to continue in his anger, that it's going to lead him into things that are worse than what he is angry about. And so the light says, when the light comes on, when you're made angry, and that's a proper emotion. Sometimes things do make you angry. But the light says, sin not. Let not the what? Sun go down upon your wrath. So by me being in the light, I know that you made me angry, but I'm not going to let that simmer. I've seen some people who are angry and they stay angry Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They stay angry all week. They stay angry all month. They stay angry all year. And I'm telling you, that anger just gets to the point that it just tears up the family apart and tears everything apart. But the Bible said if you're of Christ and you are walking toward Christ and he has given you life, man, be angry and sin not. Before the sun goes down, before you go to bed, get that thing right. Watch the next one. Hurry right quick. Neither give place to the devil. Because that's what you're doing when you let that anger, that anger just simmer and stay with you. Watch verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. So a person who is of the light is a person who no longer cheats and steals, but he does what he can to work with his hands in order that he may be interested in giving to others instead of others giving to him. Watch verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Watch verse number 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. God has put the Holy Spirit inside of a man that is a Christian. And if you are living according to that old man, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And watch verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with what? All malice. Watch the next verse. Watch this. And be ye what? Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for what? Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now these are people who are walking in the light, that they know that I need to be forgiving. I need to be tenderhearted. This is because I know that the light is what's guiding me. All right, chapter 5 and verse number 1. Watch what the Bible says. Chapter 5, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Now watch this. Be ye what? Be ye therefore what? Followers of God as what? Dear children. Watch the next verse. And what? Walk in love as Christ also hath what? Loved us. And hath what? Given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Verse number 3. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Watch verse number 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what? Giving of what? Thanks. Verse number 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hold it. People today, inasmuch as God has saved us by grace, and by grace are you saved, that the grace of God is going to look over all of our sin. Listen, this is what Paul is trying to say. You better put some light on that thing. This, no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, or idolater had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Don't you get caught up in your sin saying, well, God will forgive me. You better let that stuff go and you better get out of that stuff. Am I right about it? Watch verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the what? The wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You're in the light. You don't need to be caught up with the children of disobedience. Verse number 7. Watch what the Bible says. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse number 8, watch this. For ye were sometimes what? Darkness. But now are ye what? Light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. Watch this. Children of disobedience. Children of light. We are the children of light. And we must walk in the way that God has walked. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have to make sure that your life is commensurate with what the Lord is calling you for. Verse number 9, and then I'm through. For the fruit of the Spirit is all what? Goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse number 10, watch this.
proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Our lives have to be more about accepting, proving what we believe the Lord wants us to do. Verse number 11, the Bible said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, expose them. Verse number 12, watch what the Bible says. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse number 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. See, folk don't like good preaching, and they don't like for you to tell them what the Word of God said. And that's because the Word of God will put light on that stuff. Amen, amen. There are some people who say, well, I wouldn't go to Brother Gibbs because I don't want to hear what Brother Gibbs has to say. And the only reason you don't want to come to hear what Brother Gibbs said, because Brother Gibbs is going to tell you what the Bible said. And it's going to expose that stuff that you're talking about. Amen, amen. Because I ain't going to talk about what I feel and what I think. I'm going to tell you what I know the Bible says about that thing. And the Word of God will always expose darkness. Amen, walls and light. Amen, amen, amen. You ain't going to, no. Oh, I know my time has gotten away from me. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's the Word of God. Watch verse number 14. Watch the Bible. Wherefore he said, awake thou the sleep. Some of us need to wake up. We've been walking in darkness, blinded by the devil. But don't let the devil blind you. There is a way to live in Christian life and in a Christian relationship with Jesus Christ. Wherefore he said, awake thou the sleepeth and arise from the dead. And Christ, watch this, Christ shall give thee what? Light. Amen. Walls. Verse number 15. I know it's getting long. See then that you walk how? Circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Doing what? Watch the Bible. Verse number 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Am I right about it? Well, I'm going to throw verse number 17 there. Amen. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Am I right about it? Oh, walking in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Somebody said, well, I want my home to be a happy home. You stay in the Word of God. You let Christ be your Savior and be your Lord and your Master, and he will make your life sublime. Even when you get into trouble, he'll be the bridge over your troubled water. Am I right about it? Oh, well, that's enough preaching. That's enough preaching. He is the light of the world. And there is a difference between spiritual blindness and your ability to be spiritually given sight by Jesus Christ. You've heard the word, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come up, your sins will be remitted. When you come up out of the watery grave, the Lord will give you his Holy Spirit. Let that Holy Spirit live within you. Don't grieve him by doing those things that are according to the children of disobedience. There is a difference in the way that we walk, because we walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's when his blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God bless you. Choose the light. Walk in the light. Come to Jesus right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come?
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer.